A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Jesus said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So the 12 went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. If you recall, last weekend, I had said that one of the central roles that Jesus played out and was important to him, and that was of a teacher, to try to relate to the crowds and even more importantly to his disciples an understanding and an appreciation of the scriptures in a way that they were not familiar with. And like any teacher, when you present something new to an individual, you have to be patient with them and know that it will take a while for them to grasp what you have to say. They also know as a teacher that when you provide something new to someone and it's slightly outside of what they're familiar with or what they're comfortable with, they may resist, they may push back, they may not want to learn anymore, because they become comfortable with what they already know. There is, however, another role that Jesus played out in his lifetime, and that was the role of a prophet. What we understand of a prophet is someone who acknowledges that they have been chosen by God to work with God. And together, they are able to present to the world in the flesh what God intends, what God desires for us, and shows us in concrete ways how to live out God's teachings, God's will. But we also know about prophets, it's that they are not welcomed very often, wherever they go, not just in their hometown, but really anywhere. Because the prophet has the dubious task of challenging people with the truth. The truth isn't inconvenient. It is disturbing and it is unsettling, particularly to anyone who does not want to hear or see or practice the truth. Jesus knew this. The long history of prophets within the Hebrew culture, they also knew it. We heard in our first reading of the prophet Amos. And Amos is approached by a priest who is within the city of Bethel. And Bethel was a place of worship. It was a place that they believed that God was present. But this priest comes to Amos and says to him, "You are certainly a prophet. You must leave here. We basically don't want to hear what you have to say. Go someplace else. Prophesy someplace else, but not here." But Amos makes it very clear to him, to this individual, that I'm not a prophet as you have here in Bethel, but I am, yes indeed, a prophet. Someone who has no background, no credentials, basically a no one, but God has called me to work with God to bring his vision and his life to this world. You see, in that period of history, Israel was divided into a north and southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom was very prosperous, very wealthy, very influential. And they basically held the south in captive. But the reason why the northern kingdom had grown to such power was that they had created allegiances with the neighboring cultures. And in the process, they abandoned their faith. They abandoned their relationship with God. So much so that they had no problems with oppressing anyone who opposed their authority. But in that period of history, the priestly class, the religion of the day, though it wasn't strictly speaking Judaism, but a watered-down version, it was in the back pocket of the government. And it worked with them to keep the people calm and dumbed down. So Amos is sent by God to challenge them and to basically say to them, what you are doing is in direct opposition to what God wills and desires. You say you are concerned for the good and the well-being of all of your citizens, yet you have no problem oppressing your own people, treating them unfairly, cheating them, marginalizing them, alienating them. You have no problem doing that. God is against this and sends his prophet, who is in fact then God's presence in our midst, saying, this is wrong. It must end. The priest, ironically, comes to the prophet and says, you must leave. Go. And after multiple threats, he finally does leave. Eventually, the kingdom will fall because within itself, it is rotting at its core. On the surface, it looks fine. It sounds good. But its actions belay what is truly their belief system, what they value. And it is solely corruption, power, greed, self-serving. So Jesus comes along many centuries later, and he comes with the same message of a prophet, and he addresses the people, and he is challenging them. You are hooked on religiosity, the externals, but your mind and your heart is far from God. You've closed your minds. Your hearts are hardened to mercy and to justice and to compassion. You have forgotten how to forgive your neighbor, to love those around you. You have forgotten what it means to be hospitable to strangers. You quote scripture, yet you don't understand it. And you certainly then do not practice it. So when Jesus says to his disciples, when you go out into the world, I am giving you these instructions. I'm giving you the authority to do what I am doing because I am sending you as an extension of me. The power I give isn't yours. It's never yours. So don't think you own it, nor that you can use it to manipulate or to gain favor with people. This is meant to serve, help, heal, reconcile, and enliven everyone around you. So go with my authority. And what I want you to do is to go into the world with nothing except staff, pair of sandals, and whatever's on your back, but nothing extra. The nothing that Jesus is sending them out with is not a matter of no materials. The nothing Jesus is referring to is the no thing. It's another way of referring to God. God is not something or anything or some kind of item or article or an idea or a philosophy. God cannot be penned down, cannot be controlled, cannot be manipulated. So if we carry this no thing, this nothingness within us, then it displaces anything and everything that tries to cling to us, to God. It is removed. So we go into the world free of fear, anger, resentment, greed. All of the things that will build us up, keep us separate from others, so that we can use it to put others down. So when they go into the world, they bring this good news to the people. Some will accept it, but the vast majority will reject it. Why? Why will the vast majority reject it and only a small group accept what Jesus had to say and his disciples? Because they were clinging to this world, to their small little empires, their little power plays. And in the end, it too will fall. It always does. So when we apply this teaching that Jesus gave to us, I think we can direct it towards where we are right now in our society here in Canada. We are at a precarious place. We have been instructed to go out into the world and to bring good news to people, a message of liberation and freedom. But what we are confronted with right now is a past where we failed miserably, where we, as a Christian church, we worked with the government in that time, and together we set up our own kingdom. It was not according to what Jesus would have wanted, but it was what we wanted. We would cling to our need to be in control, to have power over, to manipulate, and if that meant to eliminate others, we did so. But here's the thing about a prophet. They will always uncover the truth, what is deep within us. And what has happened today is the truth that was buried is now being revealed. A few days ago, a young man came into this church, and he walked around the church, and he placed white feathers by each of the statues. When I mentioned this to a friend of mine, she instructed me that the white feathers could have a number of meanings. One being that when the men within the Aboriginal peoples, the Indigenous peoples, When the men refused to go out and to defend the integrity and the dignity of their community, they were given a white feather. And what it symbolized was their cowardice. They knew what they were supposed to do. They knew what they were called to be and to live in, but they chose safety, or they chose security, and they ignored the rights and the dignity of their own people. So they received this white feather. But this friend of mine also let me know that it has an alternate meaning. And it is not mutually exclusive, but I think it works well with it. And it is this, that when one comes upon a white feather, the feather symbolizes our need to be faithful to who we are and to what we believe. And so when a person receives this feather, they have a choice. I can be faithful, I can stand up for the rights, the dignity of others, promote justice and the common good for all people, or I can take the path of a coward and I can take the easy way out, not to speak up or to speak out, but to maintain my own safety and security. Perhaps that's where we find ourselves today. It is not about judging, blaming what happened in the past. That really doesn't resolve anything. But learning from it will make the difference. We weren't there when it happened, but we are here now. We know the truth. We know what had taken place. And if we are called to be a prophet, many of us are, perhaps all of us here today are called to be prophetic, to allow God to speak through us, to bring the truth to light, then we must work with everyone to bring about truth and reconciliation. This is going to be a challenge for everyone. It may mean our world as we know it here in Canada is going to change. And necessarily so. Because their world was eliminated. It was devastated. And to this day, it continues to be dismantled. If we are followers of Jesus, and if we understand his message, then we need to stand with Christ. We need to stand with our brothers and sisters, our indigenous brothers and sisters, the Métis and the Inuit. And we say, we want a world where all people are respected, where everyone has a place of dignity, where we learn from one another, we grow together. But we have to acknowledge what we have done and what we have failed to do. We need to apologize. We need, from the very depths of our hearts, to feel what they felt, to have empathy for them and with them, to bring about the kingdom of God here and now. So my friends, if you are a prophet, know that your reward will be this, at least here on this planet, death, rejection, humiliation, people pushing back against you. They will not want to hear what you have to say. But our reward with God is a clear conscience. We are fortified with mercy and compassion. And we know then we are working towards a just and loving society for all people. We can't undo history, but from here on in, we can change it. We can make it better. We have to make it better for everyone's good and well-being.